Welcome to Narratives. Deborah Adelaide's heroine, Dove, reads Wuthering Heights to her dying mother in hospital and then becomes obsessed with writing herself.
It was reading that had brought Dove to this. Reading that novel when she was a teenager, or whenever it was she'd first read it. Then again as a young woman, when she had underlined great slabs of the text in ink, for some reason she could not now remember. And then yet again to her mother as she lay in hospital dying, reading it had infected her imagination. It was like a malaria of the brain, lying dormant, then leaping up at unexpected times to attack her with a fever of unresolved narrative. And it would not depart until she'd grappled with the confusion of gaps and shadowy images and half-truths, ones that were far more dominant and demanding than the scenes and the characters that she also saw with perfect, often frightening clarity. The novel had unfolded again and again to be something different every time, and she was sick of it because it meant there would never be a final reading of this book for her. Like that mosquito-borne tropical fever, it would never let her go. She had half a lifetime ahead of her. She was not yet 40, and yet this novel was going to torture her for the rest of her life. She would be close to death and it would still have its hooks into her. Doubtless, even after death, when she was good and buried with the soft wind breathing through the grass above her, not for her would there be peace. She would never be one of the sleepers in the quiet earth. Her mother had been a violin teacher, and when she was lying peaceful and close to death in hospital, Dove had suggested some music, thinking she could bring in her iPod and feed it straight into her ears. But Jane had requested, murmuring, that she bring in Wuthering Heights and read it to her instead, and she wanted the old copy from her flat. As she leafed through it, catching the sweet, dusty scent of its tea-coloured pages, a note fell out. Chapter 16. C dies halfway through novel, it stated. Absent mother theme reinforced. Dove had almost sniffed at that, refusing to consider the obvious. Her mother wanted this book read to her, and so she would read it to her. And what had happened was not just that her mother had died with the sound of Emily Bronte's words quietly spoken into her ear, but that Dove had found a story, followed it, and was now firmly trapped within it. Or so it felt. She was a graphic designer and thought in images, not words. She read the novel and saw scenes vividly, and even as she slept, she saw people and events unfolding. And during the weeks in which she read the book to her mother, a character called Ellis and her story emerged with such clarity, it became a compulsion for her to write. Before they'd finished reading the book, she'd made notes and drafted out scenes in a purple notebook her mother had given her some time before she'd become ill. Writing late at nights after she returned from her hospital visits, or in the early hours of the day, she'd not really stopped to question where the story was going, or even why she, who had never before harboured a desire to write, was now gripped by a feverish, urgent need to find out what this story was about and where it would end. As her mother's life had slowly ebbed away after her final debilitating stroke, Dove had been creating another narrative, which commenced by describing an event in the life of Ellis, a young married woman travelling on a bus with her baby Charlie to visit her father in Ashfield. She saw this powerfully, vividly, much of it unfolding before her like a film. She saw the suburb of Ashfield and knew it was the late 60s and caught a strong sensual impression of the place. The smells from the gardens, from the kitchens, on that particular day. All this was so strong that Dove wondered if she'd ever lived in a house similar to Ellis's father's house, back before she could remember. It was a Federation place with a front garden featuring an old wire gate and a fence covered in plumbago. A tessellated path led up the front veranda. There were houses and gardens like this in Ashfield still. She knew because she'd been there recently, researching for the story. In one way, the story began simply. Ellis was making a regular weekly visit to her father, who lived alone, and she was taking the bus because she did not drive, not uncommon for women back then. Nothing much happened. Some elderly women on the bus disapproved of the fact that the baby was underdressed, despite the heat of the day, and was not wearing his hat. The most momentous thing was when Ellis placed Charlie down on the path at her father's house and he took his first steps. It was while Dove was writing this part of the story that her mother began to die. She was quickly writing this section down on her laptop, seated by her mother's bed, when she heard the unmistakable noises heralding imminent death, the labour of breath. At the same time, she realised two things. It was the reading aloud of the novel that had helped her understand it better, and that this had somehow inspired the story she was writing. And she understood nothing more than that, but in any case, why would she? She had more important things to contend with. Her mother, who had been so quiet for weeks, was now breathing louder and louder, desperate to grasp hold of some final moments of life, as the dying often do.
You've been listening to Deborah Adelaide reading from her book, The Women's Pages. Narratives is produced by Karina Wynne-Moylan of Arts Campus Bay FM 99.9.